I'm absolutely tired of the cold. But they say, because it's been so cold for so long, that we'll have a lot less mosquitoes this year.
Amen.
Amen. For no mosquitoes. But I'd be real honest with you. I'd like to slap a few more times and have a few more days of summer, to be real honest with you. But that's all right. That's all right. We're almost through. I heard great and tremendous things about Brother Mike Freimeyer last week doing Sunday school. I appreciate him doing that, finishing up the Islam for us, and learned a lot of things, to be real honest with you, just doing the research a little bit on that. I learned a lot of things about the Muslims, about what they believe. There's a lot of things that I certainly did not know that they believe, and I hope and pray that someday one of those is brought in front of you, and you get a chance to witness to them, you get a chance to talk to them, because honestly, unless they hear about the Lord Jesus Christ and Him being their Savior, they're going to go to hell, and we don't want that. I don't care what anybody, any person is, what they've done in their past. It's amazing how Americans pick who they think should be saved and discard who they don't think should be saved. I know that that's a terrible thing to say, but to be real honest with you, in the back of your mind, is there somebody that you wouldn't be willing to witness to? Got quiet in a hurry. Okay. There's folks, I promise you, in the back of your mind that you probably wouldn't walk across the street to talk to. But I'm going to be real honest with you, the Lord, those are the people He'd go see. Those are the people that He would sit with. The Lord doesn't decide on what they look like or who they are or where they've been to talk to them. The Lord wants to talk to everybody. The people that you would talk to are probably the ones that the Lord wouldn't spend time with. It's a sad thought, but it's true. We live in a day and age where we've got to tell everybody. For the last few weeks, preachers brought message after message about the Lord coming back real soon, and He is. We should be really deciding that we're going to tell people about Christ and we're going to do something about it. Amen? Amen. Are we awake this morning?
Yes.
Amen. I'm awake this morning. I feel real good this morning. Tammy and I got to do the New Testament of Northfield, their You Are Love banquet last night. And it was a blast. I'm going to tell you, it was a blast. Tammy started to sing, and they have a sound system that works a lot like ours. And I thought John was there for a minute. Sad as you know what that means. That's what's sad. But anyways, I'm just kidding, John. Don't turn me off. Because I thought that was coming. But Tammy started to sing, and I'm only sitting a few feet, so I heard real fine. This song was going great. And all of a sudden, Brother York, just like preacher, stands up and said, "Wait! Wait! We can't hear it! Turn the mic on!" Tammy kept singing. I love it. She kept singing. And then finally, though, she had to succumb to his voice because he got a little louder, and they finally did stop. But it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. They had some guy showed up with funny teeth and glasses, and he showed up, and some of the people obviously hadn't seen him before. And what's funny is I had a person that was in the left front, right, I'm telling you, no more than 6 or 8 feet from me. They were so uptight, they didn't even crack a smile one time. Not one. I almost went over there and kissed him. I did. He sat over there the whole time. I almost wanted to say, hey, lady, how long have you been married to him? Just to find out. She probably would have said 30, 40 years. And I said, glory to God. Bless your heart. But she didn't find any humor in that. But that's okay. All right. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, because much of this we already know, but I want to go over the Mormons this week, and I think we can take care of them in a week pretty easily. If you, No, I not this week. The reason is not because I don't want to give you one, but because there's so many that only one or two things on each page I want to give you. I didn't want to give you 25 pages just for the 10 things I want to tell you about. But the Mormons are it's actually the third fastest growing in America today are the Mormons, and a lot of that has to do with at 19 years old, all the men are required to go on a 2-year mission trip, and it's not that they leave; they just go on a trip, and they are forced to go out and tell people about Mormonism, about the Lord, they say, but about Mormonism, about the things that they have. And, you know, the Bible tells us that we do this a lot as Baptist preachers and Baptists in general. We like to debate people on our front porch when they come and they knock on your door and you sit there and debate with them. Please understand this. The Bible says to tell them to go and not bid them Godspeed. I know that we like to be, you know, funny, and we like to try to do our best, but understand in this, folks, the chances of talking to somebody that comes to you, if they were brave enough to come to your house to tell you about their religion, the chances of you changing their minds is very, very, very slim. And to sit there and argue with them makes you look bad. Oh, and that's hard for some to hear, but it literally makes you look bad. It makes you look like you're trying to be argumentative, like you're trying to disprove them, and you are trying to do that, but to be real honest with you, the chances of changing somebody's mind that was brave enough to come to your door are very slim. They believe what they believe just as much, if not more, than you believe what you believe. That's what you've got to grab a hold of. All this time, and the reason, again, the reason that we're going over these separate things is not so you can have ammunition. That's not what it's about. It's about so you can understand what people in this world today are going through. So you can understand that there is actually a religion out there that believes unless you work your tail off, you don't get to go to the best part of heaven. They say that if you don't work your tail off, that you can go to a heaven, but they're not telling you which one it is, which part of glory. How hard you work depends on it. Listen, these people are striving to have, and you can liken that to rewards that you get in heaven, but they liken that to actually, if you attain the greatest level, you get to be a god or a goddess of your own planet. You might say, well, that's crazy. Maybe it is to you, but to them, it's everything. To them, it's real. To them, it's sincere. And what you've got to understand and come to grips with as a Baptist person, you've got to go through all that to get to somebody's heart. Here's what's sad. I would to God we'd get to them before the Mormons got to them. We sit down and we take scope of ourselves inside this church and don't do anything about winning people to Christ. That's why they go over to that other church, because nobody else came to get them. Why aren't we willing to tell people what we believe? Why aren't we willing to tell people about the wonderful Savior that saved your soul? Is it inconvenient? We sit back and we talk about other religions. Like, oh, they're so foolish. But that's because somebody went and got them. Foolish or not, somebody told them. Somebody went out and reached them. Would to God we'd do that. Would to God. Hey, I don't like the fact that kids at 19 years old are being forced to do something. But boy, it wouldn't be a bad idea. Say what you want. They're whipping our tails right now by going out and telling people about their religion. Whipping our tails. Well, we'll go over the articles of faith. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll go ahead and get started. Brother Brian, could you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. Thank you. The Articles of Faith, I got this off of their website. There's a website about every, I don't care what religion it is, you can go to any religion, and you can find a website that's a hate website that hates this religion, okay? You can go to the IHateMormon.com, and you can find all kinds of stuff that could or could not be true, okay? You got to get through that. You got to get past the point of hate. I can't get this through to you enough. You got to get past the point of hate. Islamic people are not to be hated. Catholic people are not to be hated. Mormon people are not to be hated. Jewish people are not to be hated, except for this one. I'm gonna tell you right now, we need to live in a day and age where you don't hate people. We need to live in a day and age where not only do you not hate them, you care about them. You care about their soul. Your eyes are no longer dry. They become wet because you see a soul. You don't see a person that's misled. You see a soul. We sit on our horse sometimes. Well, we've got the truth, bless God. But why do you hold the truth? Why do you not use the truth? Why do you not give out the truth? I'll get off that. These are the Articles of Faith of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Joseph Smith, that's the fellow that kind of founded this religion here. They accept the principle of continuous revelation. as an essential feature of faith in God and Jesus Christ, whose relationship with his children is ongoing and his words to us continual. In other words, even the Book of Mormon is not the final. They can change all the time. They're a continuous revelation. That means that the Lord is constantly speaking through his prophets and giving new words of God every single day. We don't believe that. We believe we've got the final word, and the Book of Revelation is the end of it. Amen? Just to let you know, that's the difference there. These are the 13 articles of faith. We believe in God, amen, the Eternal Father, and in his Son, Jesus Christ, and in the Holy Ghost. That's a pretty good start. We believe in that too. We believe that men will be punished for their own sins and not for Adam's transgression. Now, I'm not exactly sure where they are on this one. It said read more. I clicked on it and nothing came up. So I'm not sure exactly what more that they want for that. We are not going to be punished for our sins. The only punishment for any sin that you would commit is the not believing in God sin. Okay? That's the only sin that will be punished. Amen? If you don't accept the Lord as your Savior, you're going to go to hell. There's your punishment. That's the bottom line. I don't know what they mean by that, but that's okay. It doesn't matter what they mean. This is what we believe. Number three. We believe, now listen to this, you got to listen very carefully on this one. We believe that through the atonement of Christ, all mankind may be saved by obedience to the laws and ordinance of the gospel. That's like a disclaimer, okay? You believe in Jesus Christ and obey the laws. You're not going to obey the laws, folks. I'm looking out and I see a bunch of sinners here. I look in the mirror every day and I see somebody that just sinned. Okay, so understand, you're not going to get saved and then obey the laws and everything else and get right. All you got to do is get saved to go to heaven. I knew that one was rough. We believe, this is number four, that the first principles and ordinances of the gospel are, first, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Second, repentance. Well, that came second. Third, baptism by immersion for the remission of sins. Hey, baptism by immersion, I like that. Fourth, laying on of hands for the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's giving man the power to inundate you with the Holy Ghost. They have authorities. We believe in authority for baptism just like they do. There's only one authority to baptize. Jesus walked 60 miles plus to go get baptized by the only man that had authority at that time to baptize, John, not the Mormon, the Baptist. And so we understand that. But the laying on of hands and giving of the Holy Ghost does not come from men. Okay, that does not come from men. That you get that immediately as soon as you get saved. Number five, we believe that a man must be called of God by prophecy. That was interesting to me, I thought. And by the laying on of hands, by those who are in authority to preach the gospel and administer in the ordinances thereof. So a man must be called by prophecy. So Brother Mark, if you were to be called, the elder of the church would have to say, Brother Mark, I got a revelation from the Lord that you are to be called. How would you like to be sitting in the service and have that happen? That'd be like, Brother Kataver, the Lord just told me you're to be a Baptist preacher. You'd see Brother Kataver wind sprinting out the back door. And I am gone. Get out of here. That would be a little scary for me. Then we believe in the same organization that existed in the primitive church. We believe in the apostles and prophets. They're still around. That's what they believe. The apostolic power and prophets are still around. Pastors, teachers, evangelists. We believe in the pastors, teachers, evangelists. But the apostles, they're gone, and they're not coming back. There's no more apostolic power. We don't call folks apostles. That was a very special gift that was given at that time by the Lord to just certain people, and that's not going to happen anymore. Number seven, we believe in the gift of tongues and prophecy and revelation and visions. Healing, interpretations of tongues, etc. They believe in all those gifts of the charismatic. I found that very interesting. Number eight, we believe the Bible to be the Word of God as far as it's translated correctly. We also believe the Book of Mormon to be the Word of God. And there's more revelations that keep coming that they can believe in as long as they keep coming. We believe in the literal gathering of Israel and in the restoration of the 10 tribes. Was there only 10, brother? That Zion will be built upon this American continent. That was interesting to me. Heaven's going to be set up right here in America. Hopefully in Florida. Because it's not going to be set up in Cleveland. (Clears throat) We claim the privilege of worshiping Almighty God according to the dictates of our own conscience. Interesting. And allow all men the same privilege. Let them worship how, where, or what they may. But they don't believe that because they've got very, very strict rules in the Mormon church. Very strict. And so they can claim that they have the privilege of worshiping Almighty God according to the dictates of our own conscience. But that's really not true. We believe in being subject to kings, presidents, rulers, and magistrates and obeying, honoring, and sustaining the law, except when it comes to holidays. We believe in being honest, true, chaste, benevolent, virtuous, and doing good to all men. Indeed, we may say that we follow the admonition of Paul. We believe all things, we hope all things, we have endured many things, and hope to be able to endure all things. If there's anything virtuous, lovely, or of good report, or praiseworthy, we seek after these things. And I will tell you this, the vast, vast majority of Mormons are fantastic people. Let me say that again. The vast majority of Mormons are fantastic people. Family people. That's part of their religious beliefs. Family people. If you went into their home, you'd say, man alive, this looks like Christian people. I mean, their homes are immaculate with wonderful families. And I'm sure that there are exceptions to that rule, just like there are exceptions everywhere else you go. But understand this, they believe family is a tremendous virtue. I don't believe in the Baptist church we preach on the family enough. They make it part of their daily rituals and their daily religious service. Understand this, I believe your family is a huge part of your life. And it should be taken as such. I think they've got that part right. Loving your family and taking care of your family and holding your family up before God. I believe they got that right. You say what you want to say. See, what you got to do is this. As a Baptist person, you want to go in with your sights set right here, where you won't think and you won't use your mind. And because you won't think and use your mind, you're never going to win anybody to Christ. Because you've got this mindset that, well, bless God, if they don't believe what I believe, they're going to go to hell. That very well may be true, but you can't look at them like that. You've got to look at them that's the only thing they've been taught. That's what they believe. That's what they understand. And you've got to appeal to what they know. It's not going to work unless you know what they know. Would you not agree with me? Say amen to that. All right. Joseph Smith, the prophet. I'm just going to go through a few of these real quick. He was the fellow that wrote the 13 Articles of Faith. His name is appended to the Articles of Faith. Is the prophet and revelator through whom was restored to earth the gospel of Jesus Christ. This man had the gospel of Jesus Christ through him restored to the earth. Understand, that's a big bite to chew right there. Because the gospel never went away. Never went away. And I dare say, I don't think I'd go back to some of those families that gave up their loved ones during the time when they were suffering vast persecutions during the Dark Ages and say, well, Joseph Smith really brought it back into the world. You didn't have anything to help us bring it along as they were dying for Christ. Okay? Understand this. Christ kept his gospel here. He didn't need any help. The gospel's always been in the earth somewhere, okay? So this is just not a true statement. So let's skip that. There's a couple other things I have marked here. Like I said, I don't want to stay forever on this. Mormon families. Mormons believe that having a family is one of the most important things we do on this earth. The programs of the Mormon Church are designed to build up and support the family unit. Mormons believe that through the plan of salvation and the ordinances of the gospel, families can dwell together forever in God's kingdom. That's a toughie, okay? Mormons believe that a good base for any family is a strong commitment between husband and wife. Amen. Amen. You can say amen to a good commitment between a husband and wife. Brother Carl's been married 60-some years. Mormons support a traditional view of marriage consisting of a man and a woman. Worthy members of the Mormon church are married in the Mormon temple, where they make eternal commitments to each other and God. An interesting fact is that the divorce rate of those who are married in the temple is lower than those who are married outside of the temple. Yeah, that's a no-brainer. If you're married inside of a church, it's going to be a whole lot more chance that you stay together than a married person is married in Vegas. I mean, that doesn't take a brain to figure that out. But they believe heavily in the family. Mormon beliefs. Now, understand, they do not celebrate birthdays, okay? I don't understand it all, but they don't celebrate birthdays. As we commemorate the birth of Jesus Christ,
Okay, that's probably a shot. I probably shouldn't have done that, but they don't commemorate birthdays, but they remember a birthday and celebrate that birthday. And I think we should celebrate Christ's birth. Please don't misread me, but it's interesting how things start to fall apart. As we commemorate the birth of Jesus Christ 2 millennia ago, we offer our testimony of the reality of his matchless life and the infinite virtue of his great atoning sacrifice. None other has had so profound an influence upon all who have lived and will yet live upon the earth. That's amen. I amen all that, okay? That's good stuff. Now, these were questions, and a couple of these, I just want to read through these. These are questions that were posed by normal people on this website. I like the responses. The responses are interesting to me. These are Mormon people that are watching over this website that are responding to some of the questions. The question is, what do they believe on dating outside of faith? Okay, that means a Mormon dating a person that's not Mormon. Peter says, and he's the Mormon, Gary, this differs a lot within the church, but you can see what the First Presidency has taught about. They hold huge respect for the First Presidency. That was Joseph Smith and a few other men that were in there. The First Presidency that laid down all this stuff, they hold huge respect for everything that they said. And by the way, even still today, if there is a higher-up elder that's in the church and they say something that came from God, it becomes law. If they said you are not allowed to be bald, you will not be bald in the Mormon church. I mean, that's honest. I'm not saying that to be tongue-in-cheek, but that is something that whatever the elders say, the higher-ups, if they say it, it is now law because they believe in a continuous revelation. It doesn't stop. Gary, this differs a lot within the church, but you can see what the First Presidency has taught about it. Basically, dating out of the faith poses some problems to your eternal progression. Okay? Eternal progression is the better you live, the better your progression is in heaven. They have three different parts of heaven, three different glories: the telestial, the terrestrial, and the celestial. Celestial is the best you can get. Okay? And you have to work to get through each one of those, and hopefully by the end you're worth the celestial, although they don't say what you have to do to get that. But one of the things is marriage and staying married. One of the things is going out and telling people, and I agree with all those things, but that's not going to help your salvation any amen. Okay, so anyways, it's left up to the individual to decide if they will risk it. Group dating, dating multiple people, etc., are also common advice within the church. The church reaches out to all people and embraces non-practicing gays. Amen. Then they talk about caffeine. Are you allowed to have caffeine? George, the most herbal tea is fine at least. Following the Word of Wisdom, that's a book that they put out that's a health book for them. We're just following guidelines for physical health and well-being. Nothing wrong with riding bikes, but you're not allowed to have coffee, tea with caffeine in it, things of that nature. Okay, Jordan, if you're exalted, that becomes a possibility of you being a god or a goddess of your own planet. If you're exalted, if you do everything right down to the letter, you could be exalted and get to have your... Now listen, we all sit here and moan about that, but think about a person who knows nothing. You got to grab a hold of what I'm trying to tell you here. If you know nothing and a person comes up to you and says, Brother Carl, if you just do what I tell you for the next 60-some years of your life, you could be a god of your own planet. You laugh because you know the truth. But if you don't know the truth and you don't seek out what's right, don't laugh at these people for thinking that's great. If you had your own mind, you'd like to be the god of your own planet too. All I want to be is the god of one little island out in the Pacific. And they've got their whole planet. So we laugh, but when you talk about these other religions, you got to understand, it obviously is attractive because it's the third fastest growing religion in America. I hate to say this to you, and you're probably not going to like this, but the Baptists aren't growing. We're dying. Why? Because we're not telling. We're not searching. We're not going out to these people that we laugh at in our churches because they desperately need the gospel. They talk about polygamy, and that's always, Mormons, polygamy. We believe that polygamy was once a commandment from on high. That's amazing to me. This was not because men wanted it. It was because it was needed. When you hear about polygamy these days, it mostly refers to the corrupt sex that sex that have strayed extremely far from original Mormonism. These men take young girls as wives so as to cut the girl's childhood short. This practice of polygamy is not what God had in mind. About 150 years ago, the women in true Mormon religion who did marry into polygamous relationships were much older women who did not have a chance to marry when they were young. They needed a way to support themselves, so the Lord prepared a way for that to be accomplished. When polygamy was no longer needed, the practice was done with. The church has not practiced polygamy for about 150 years, except in the last couple months when these have come up that they have been practicing it still. This is not a true statement. They still practice it. They can say what they want. Mormons are definitely Christians. That was a question. Are you Christian or not? Our church is called the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Our doctrine revolves around Jesus Christ, not my Jesus. Not my Jesus. Not the Jesus that's in the Bible. And if any man preach another Jesus unto you, let him be accursed. Mormons are definitely Christians. They're not, though. Mormons do believe that we can obtain the highest glory in heaven, which is the celestial, and if we do, we can become gods and goddesses of our own worlds. When I talk about the celestial glory, there are also the terrestrial and telestial glories. They're mentioned in New Testament in chapters 15 of 1 Corinthians. They're not. You can go take a look at that if you want to, but that's not talking about it. It doesn't take much to get that. This is something I did not know. As the Bible says in Genesis, man was created in God's image. This is a literal fact. The God that we know as God has power over this earth and has given that power to his son, Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the God that we mostly refer to when we talk about God. We have a heavenly Father and a heavenly Mother who love us very much. I was not aware that the Mormons held Mary up as the heavenly Mother. I did not know that. If God sends a beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to atone for our sins, if we do all we can during this life, God's mercy will save us the rest of the way. So, as you can see, there's a lot of different. And by the way, not only do you have to believe in Christ, you have to do good works the entire time, you also have to have baptism. That's another part of it. Baptism washes away your sin. And you have to have Jesus atoning for your sins. And you can't commit sin. You see the problem with the whole... I mean, that's a problem. And that's why they work so hard. Because they don't want to have a chance to fail in that part. Just keep going on. Melky, it's true that we need to follow Jesus Christ, and to follow him, we need to be reborn, as you said, by baptism. They're reborn by baptism, but not any baptism, one authorized by a servant with authority. So they believe only they can baptize, just like we do. We believe that there's only one authority to baptize. That's a Baptist preacher that's of the independent fundamental strain. He's got the only authority to baptize. We believe that, but the baptism we do is for profession of faith, not for something that's a possession of faith. So it's a big difference there. Jesus Christ does all the saving. Yes, sir.
Salvation, when you're born again, is your entrance into heaven. Being born again. Baptism is your entrance into the church. Salvation is the entrance into heaven. Jesus is on the way to the church.
This is another part that I thought was interesting about the purpose of life for the Mormons. We were sent here to receive physical bodies. Now what this is talking about is very interesting. We were sent here to receive physical bodies. Before we came to earth, we dwelt with our Father in heaven, lacking bodies of flesh and blood. In other words, we were personages of spirit or heavenly Father's spirit children. So what they're telling you is this: you existed in heaven as a spirit before you came to earth. And when you came to earth, the Lord wiped or gave you a forgetfulness, they call it. They took away the thought that you had or the mind that you had while you were in heaven. They brought you down here. You lived a life full of trials and tribulations to see how you would do. And then they calls you back up in the resurrection to do those, to get glorified or get not glorified or whatever one of the three parts you fit in. That's where you fit in. Now understand this. The Bible does talk about the Lord knowing you when you were without form. The Lord, it does talk about knowing you and who you were. And I believe with all my heart that the Lord knew who you were because of his foreknowledge. Not because you were in heaven with him, but because he has great foreknowledge. He knew I was going to be on this earth. That's why he took me all the way to the cross with him. Because he knew that I was coming. I wasn't at that time, but he knew I was coming. That's why he kept stepping, because he loved me enough. He cared about me enough. He knew that I was in a condition I couldn't do on my own. He knew that there's nothing good that I had. All my righteousness was his filthy rags. I was undone, and he knew that. And that's why he went to the cross, but not because I was there already in spirit form with him. That to me is unnecessary teaching. Even if it was in there, it's unnecessary. Understand this. It's so simple, but humans try to make it hard because they want to have something that they can do to get to heaven. Every time, no matter what it is, there's something that a human can do. You've got to get out of the thought of being able to do something to merit heaven. There's nothing you can do to merit heaven. You just accept Jesus Christ. The instruction through Joseph Smith to receive his prophecies came from an angel named Moroni. Yeah. That was the Italian band angel. Yeah, Moroni.
He's the cousin of
Moroni. He came down and gave him angelic visitations. They're allowed to still get angelic visitations. We talked about this before, about the continuing to get revelations as they go. But I found this sentence very, very interesting. At the bottom of this angelic visitations, it says, "It is not our present purpose to review in detail the life and ministry of Joseph Smith." And on the bottom of this long explanation of angelic visitation, it's not our present purpose to review in detail the life and ministry of Joseph Smith. In other words, don't ask questions about him. We're not going to answer them. That's why you don't put your faith in a man.
By the way, Dave's conference sounded miracle.
There was a lot. They had to move. Trust me, there was a lot. But listen. The reason that we're not doing that, the reason I'm not going there, is because I want to show you what they believe. I'm not going to go to websites that bash people. I want you to know what they believe. So when you talk to them, you know what it is. Yes. Let's go ahead and I'm just going to run down. This is a kind of a summary that I gave, and we're all done. Few things. Only a murderer has no forgiveness. Impossible for a murderer to go to heaven. Any of the three glories. Impossible for a murderer. If anybody sees Moses, ask him if that was true. Two, baptism washes away sins. We know that's not true. Holding faithful to the end gives the great approbation. That's the name that they give to getting to celestial glory. And then your gods and goddesses of your own planets. If you don't know God or obey gospel, but you live well, you get the terrestrial salvation. You go back to the spirit world, you know God again, and then you have another chance at your celestial. Once you go back, you get another shot at being the celestial. Okay? Next thing, bad people go to a temporary hell, but that's only prison. It's not a fire, because a fire wouldn't have any effect on a spirit body. People go to temporary hell, you get celestial glory, and you still have opportunity to get right and get celestial. So you get several chances. You can live like the devil and still get your chance to go to celestial. They believe in baptism by proxy. I didn't know that either. I knew there was some out there, but I didn't know that you could get baptized by proxy. What that means is, if your loved ones die and they're not Mormons, you can get baptized for them. So like if preacher's family became Mormon, preacher was to pass on, they could get in the tub and get baptized for preacher to give him a chance to go to celestial glory. And this is the third fastest growing religion in America today. Why don't we tell people? That's the challenge today, folks. That's the challenge. Why don't we tell people about Christ? Christ is so simple. It's free. It's wonderful. And it's truth. Why don't we tell people about the truth? That's why these are growing so fast, because we're not telling. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity again to preach. Lord, I thank you that there's so many people on this earth that we could talk to. Lord, please loose our tongues. Loose our tongues today, that we're willing to tell them, willing to talk to them, not ashamed of it. Lord, please help us. We make fun of the people that are going. We make fun of them while we see them walking down the street. But glory to God, I wish it was us. I wish we were the ones walking down the street. I wish we were the ones going to tell people. I wish we were the ones going out and witnessing for you. Lord, help us to get a heart condition that's needed today in the Baptist church. Help us to get a heart condition that we love people again. We don't look down on them, but we love them. We look at them through your eyes, not through ours. They need you today, Lord, and we're the ones that have the truth. Help us, Lord, to tell people about you today. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.